Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Up next, we have Sister Zainab Haider-Zaidi, who will be doing a youth presentation on boycott, divestment, and sanctions.
I'm Zainab. And my presentation today is going to be about a movement called Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. So, I guess I'm going at the beginning, but this might make a lot more sense if you're familiar with the issues. So I'll try to break it down a little bit more. But this movement is definitely for people who are really invested in the issue of Palestine and kind of want to know what's the next step, right? Like, if you care about this issue, how can you take it and actually do something about it? Okay, so we're going to start from the beginning and when this movement started. Around 2005, Palestinian civil society members got together to try and figure out what they could do about what's happening to them. So up until then, I mean, you guys are aware there's a lot of different political opinions on what the best way to react to Israeli oppression is. You're familiar with what the media likes to show, which is the more violent actions that a lot of groups have taken. You know, there's groups that are like seriously considered terrorists. There are some that are like, you know, the U.S. might consider them terrorists, others would consider them freedom fighters. There's all kinds of different political groups that are there. So this was started by people who wanted to explore alternative methods, especially nonviolent means to actively resist Israel. Now, the nonviolent movement against Israel has been around for a long time. You don't often hear about it in the news, but it has been around for a while. But this was sort of the first consolidated attempt to really bring it together. And what it was about 150 different organizations in Palestine. So civil society sort of means a cross-section of NGOs, academic people, people who are involved in humanitarian organizations, and in general, the organizations that exist between private and government, right? So it's truly kind of representative of Palestinians. So they got together in 2005 at this conference and decided that the best method to combat Israel was to the method of boycott, divestments, and sanctions. So that's what BDS stands for. And this three-pronged approach was influenced by the South African movement, which was up until the anti-apartheid thing resulted in South Africa's freedom for the Black Zulu population. There's 30 years of concentrated boycotts and sanctions against the government of South Africa, which is what resulted in that victory. So the Palestinian organizations decided that this was a good strategy to use against Israel to delegitimize the government in the eyes of the public, right? So one of the things that's really interesting about it is that not only does this represent, like it says, different political parties in Palestine, organizations, unions, Palestinians in the OPT, which have occupied the Palestinian territories of the West Bank, and the citizens within the boundaries of Israel, that it's the best way for people of conscience to be able to take a role. The three good things about it is that it's the moral thing to do, it's the most effective out of all the things that people have done against Israel. It's been the most effective. And it's also nonviolent, which is a principle that, you know, not everyone necessarily shares, but you can't deny that it has its benefits, right? So because it's a grassroots level movement, it really gets to the heart of all the different aspects. So another thing is, it's like, because it's worked before, we see that it can really work again. Sorry if I'm stumbling, I don't have my notes in my head. One of the first one, the B in BDS, boycotts, works by targeting products that come from Israel. You know, there are some like there's some miscommunication, I think, especially among our community on what boycott means. A lot of people think that, and I'm not saying like my opinion is necessarily the right one, but for some people, boycotting Israeli products is a personal moral decision. Like, it's the right thing to do, so I'm not gonna support any company that I think has something to do with Israel. That's fine if that's what you think, but the way BDS works is that they have a lot of products out there that are from Israel, but what they encourage people to do is to collectively target one, for example, one product or one company, rather than just anybody who has a tie to Israel, which is basically most companies in the United States. By targeting the ones that have the biggest ties to Israel, that are profiting, like you're actually profiting from occupation, by targeting those companies, you're not only making a more economic impact, you're also creating a lot of bad press and ruining the image of respectability that Israel has. So actually, if you could go back to the boycott for a second. So one of the ways is to tell if a company is actually from Israel is to look at the barcode. The first three letters, if it's 729, that'll usually tell you that it's from Israel. Again, you can use that for personally, like just checking products that you're buying, or you can use that as like a student group on campus to get together and be like, let's target some of these companies. So this is a few of the companies that are from Israel. And the one on the very bottom, if you see SodaStream, I don't know if any of you guys have heard of it, but this is a product that's gotten really big, and like every, you'll see it in Walmart and Target. It's a machine that basically you can make Coke at home, right? And the thing about this product is it's actually built, the factory is actually in one of the settler colonies in Israel. So not even in Israel, but in the West Bank. So it's actually an illegal settlement. It's not, you can't even pretend that, oh, it's in the country of Israel, so it's fine. It's actually in a settler colony, breaking international law. So a lot of movements in the last year have been targeting SodaStream. So if you keep up with the BDS movement, you'll notice a lot of things against SodaStream. So the next part of BDS is D, which is divestment. And divestment means targeting corporations that are complicit in violation of Palestinian human rights. And making sure that the university that you're part of or the insurance that you use doesn't invest in Palestinian or companies that are profiting from occupation. So while boycott might target products coming from Israel, divestment usually targets any company that's profiting from Israel, right? So you might have your Caterpillar, Bulldozer, and other companies like that. And how divestment works is it encourages, for example, a university or a pension fund, so University of California at Berkeley, or TIAA-CREF, one of the largest pension fund groups in the world, who have a lot of investments in different Israeli profiting, occupation profiting companies. And so by encouraging your student groups on campus to organize to get your community to actually divest, which means remove investment, you can make a lot of difference in the pockets economically in Israel, and also just creating bad press. One of the best things you can do is create bad press for Israel, which might sound like a small thing, but by making a company look bad online, on TV, by bringing attention to a boycott that you're doing of that company, even if you don't make a huge economic impact, by doing that, people start talking in the news and other places about, wait, what is this company becomes controversial, right? And so being controversial is one of the worst things a company can be, right? So they'll bring in their PR machine, try to rescue their image. But what you're doing is you made them controversial. You've suddenly associated the word human rights abuses with this company. And so that's going to create a big impact. And then the third one is sanctions. So I'm not going to talk too much about that because that's not something you can do on the individual level. But sanctions is usually what one country does to another country, what the United States is trying to do to Iran, for example. But it's something you can do internationally. So sanctions is what countries can do against Israel by saying we won't trade with you, for example. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a few of the victories of the BDS movement. The first one I want to talk about is really interesting. Now, it was really hard for me to choose because there's literally just like in 2013, I was going through this list, there's so many. So it's hard to choose. And this movement started in like 2005, and the conference was in Ramallah in 2006. So from then to today, there's been so many victories already that it's kind of hard to fathom. But the first one I want to talk about is Veolia, which is a French company that it's a really big company. They do transportation and a lot of other things. And they owned all of the bus lines in Israel. So they were basically the ones who built the bus system, who operated it, and there was bus lines for settlers only, right? Like Jewish-only buses that went from one settlement colony to another. So inherently a discriminatory business practice that they owned and profited from. Wait a minute. Oh, 1 minute. So the Veolia, basically a lot of different boycotts and protests against Veolia resulted in, for example, one in California resulted in a city in California who was going to hire Veolia to make their light rail system, basically decided in the face of protests of their citizens that they were going to drop the contract. So Veolia lost a $7.6 billion deal. Multiple other campaigns in cities of people who were anti these companies resulted in like $16 billion worth of loss for Veolia. They ended up selling all of the bus lines in Israel and pulling out of Israel. They're still there for the light rail, one of their subsidiaries, but the point is that because of people's actions, it was a billion-dollar company pulled out of Israel, this resulting in a loss for them and Israel. So these kind of things happen all the time. A few other examples, the UK Methodist Church as a whole decided to boycott Israel because of these the Swedish Dock Workers Union, who basically take in all the ships coming into Sweden and all the trade embargo, on their own decided to, for 1 week, blockade all Israeli trade coming in, which resulted in a huge loss for Israel. And this is all part of BDS. Some other ones, the British University Union decided to boycott one of the universities from Israel. Next. Okay, so there's two quotes I can share with you. One of them is from AIPAC. AIPAC is one of the largest lobbies in the United States that works on behalf of Israel in the government. And they basically said that we need to recognize that this campaign, BDS, is about more than rhetoric. This is the battle for hearts and minds of the world. Left unchallenged, it will work. Basically, Israel is scared. Israel is responding to BDS every day. They've launched an anti-BDS campaign run by the government. They have this thing called Brand Israel. So by doing this, you're actually making a difference when you see that the Israel government is actually scared of a bunch of students boycotting the products and the academic groups, right? I'll skip the second quote. These are some current campaigns if anyone wants to get involved. Like I said, SodaStream, Caterpillar, Ahava, and TFF are some of the companies that have been targeted this year. I have a few suggestions what not to do. For example, we're not protesting individual Israelis. If you see someone who's Israeli on campus and you like call them out, that's discrimination, that's not boycotting. So you have to know the difference between the two. But you can boycott, for example, a ballet that's sent by the government of Israel to your campus, because that ballet is not there just to promote art, it's actually there to promote the image of Israel as being this open-minded, liberal country, which it's not, right? So by boycotting this organization, a dance troupe, you're actually doing more than that. You're showing that this organization is trying to brand Israel as something that it's not. Basically, boycott the companies that have the biggest investments in Israel, but try to do it as a group. Students on every campus are organizing together to do it. People are doing it in every city. There's lots of different groups you can get involved in. The best way to do it is to do it in a concentrated effort, right? So join online groups that are picking a company. There's lots of, like, I think Houston, somebody targeted one of the Targets and said, just don't carry this product. But people protested for a couple of weeks, and I think Target decided to stop carrying one of the products. So you can literally do these kind of things and create bad press and result in a lot of action. So sorry I think it's short, but I think that's all. Great, enough.